The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
I want to start by reading you a modern-day parable called The Life-Saving Station. I know a lot of us have heard this. Some of you have it framed in pictures in your homes. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but a few devoted themselves as members, kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, went out day and night tirelessly searching for those who were lost. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and gave their time and their money and their effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought. New crews were trained. The little life-saving station grew. Some of the members of the life-saving station were unhappy. The building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge for those who were saved from the sea. They replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated it beautifully because they used it as a sort of a club. Fewer members were now interested in actually going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decorations, and there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club's initiations were held. About this time, a large ship wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick. The beautiful new club was in chaos, so the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where victims of shipwrecks could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split among the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some members insisted upon life-saving as a primary purpose and pointed that they were still called to be a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, that they could begin their own life-saving station just down the road. So they did. As years went by, new stations experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. History continued to repeat itself, and if you visit that seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but many of the people drown. I read that, I think, about a year ago, and I shared kind of a vision of the church. My hope and my heartbeat is that we would be a church that would never abandon our mission. We kind of say the mission of God in three words, that God has called us to glorify Him through seeing lives transformed and impacting the world. And the way this happens is basically following in the footsteps of Christ that I want to unfold for us today. That Christ left what could be called a circle of comfort. Up in heaven, we have this theological word of the Godhead called the Trinity, where God the Father reigns with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. In Philippians chapter 2, which we'll look at a little later this morning, we see that Christ left that circle of comfort and crossed the cosmos to come to our world, to reach us, a people far from God. In the same way, God, in becoming flesh and living life as His Son, Jesus Christ, He started what is known as the church. And we are now a part of that church called to fulfill that same mission. And my hope and my heartbeat is that we will never forget that we are put here for one main reason, and that is to point people back to Jesus. And this series that we're calling Share is going to help us focus on what it really looks like for us to be a people on mission, a people sent by God, sharing the truth and the love of God to all that he places in our path. I love the modern spin. I got to look at this screen. That one's broken. I love the modern spin that our creative team, actually it was really just Austin who did this, put on this. Most of us are on Facebook. And a lot of people, we sometimes think that Facebook is just some online environment, but it really is where many of the people in our society live today. They look for jobs, they look for babysitters, they share their likes, hobbies are done. Some of you play a little too much on Facebook with things like, what are some of the games? Candy Crush, yes, exactly. I keep getting invites from most of you to send you tickets. I just don't have time to keep up. So anyway, Facebook even is a place where people are, and it's a place where we can share our faith. And there in that illustration there, you saw someone sharing about not knowing if they could keep up or actually if they could ever forgive themselves. And our character in that story shared a verse. And many times that's all it is us being available to step into life's situations, to take a risk. As the study that we're basing a lot of our series on puts it, just walk across the room. Have you ever been in a situation where you're at a social gathering and you're with a group of people that you know and you're talking and you're connecting and then somebody walks in the room that you've never seen before and they just kind of stand awkwardly off to the side? Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever been that awkward person? Sometimes it's as simple as being able, and yeah, I'm going to admit that it's not always simple to do this, but sometimes it's as simple as breaking away from a circle of comfort and literally just walking across the room and extending a hand. Just say, hey, I'm John. Who are you? And just beginning that ice-breaking situation and looking for God moments to unfold as life goes on. We're going to be kind of looking at how we are all called to just walk across rooms, to just extend a hand of help, to just say yes when someone in need asks you for assistance. And it's these bite-sized steps that will lead us into situations that will allow us to share our faith, to share the truth that hope comes in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at a passage at the end of the day. I'm going to jump there right now to start us in Mark chapter 4. I think that's one of the last passages I gave you, Austin. Mark chapter 4, you can turn there in your Bibles. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says this. It says, Jesus talking, and this is one of the parables that Jesus taught on when he was here on earth. And he said this. He said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. I want us to look at one key word there in verse 27. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed does what it's supposed to. We have a responsibility, and that is to scatter the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The rest is up to God. Now, please don't hear me wrong here. We are called to follow in Christ's footsteps. We're called to live a life that doesn't make someone want to choke on the seed that we spread. They want to look at us and see that the seed you're putting out, you know, you actually love that seed. You believe in that seed. You live by that seed. So yes, there are certain things that we're supposed to do, But I've seen many people grow to the point of not able to sleep, stressed. I shared the seed. I shared the gospel, but they just aren't accepting it. I understand. Many of us have been there. Have you been there? You ever shared maybe a number of times and just could not seem to break through? Many of us have been there. My hope is to encourage us that our job, number one, is just to spread the seed, to keep spreading the seed, to keep praying, to keep living the kind of life God wants us to live, but spread the seed everywhere we go and let God do the rest of the work. We're going to touch on that in a little bit. We've provided some notes for you if you want to take these out. We'll break through these today. Number one, the first thing that you need to be willing to do is you have to, and some of these phrases are a little cheesy. I'm taking them from the book. But this one kind of fits the kind of person I am, liking Star Wars and Star Trek and Twilight Zone. You have to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. Sounds like one of those B flicks, right? The zone of the unknown. What is the zone of the unknown? Well, from the very beginning, I pointed out Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The very beginning of the Bible, it's always been God's position to use us, a people chosen by him, to reach a people far from him. And so in the very beginning in Genesis 12, 1, God says to Abram, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to send you to a place that you do not know. And so God said, I have a mission. You're not going to understand it fully. You don't even know where I'm going to send you, but I want you to go. And that's often how God works. God gives you a calling. I know I'm supposed to be following you, God. I don't know where. I don't know the first step. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. But God says, follow me and I will show you the land where I will lead you. As you go throughout the scriptures, you see God leading people into lands that they don't yet quite know how they're going to get there, how they're going to live there, how they're going to survive. And God says, follow me one step at a time. A verse that has been a source of encouragement to me, I think it was Amy Grant who sang. I want to sing it now, but I don't want to cause you pain. It's Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. And many, have you ever walked in the forest with just a lamp? You know, you can't go too far with just the light that's there. You've got to basically take one step. Sometimes I'll get ahead of myself and I'll run into a branch or a spider web, and that really freaks me out. You ever walk into a spider web in the dark? Yes, I hate spiders. Psalm 119 reminds us that God's word, as we spend time in God's word and use it as a lamp in our life, God will lead us one step at a time. And many times he won't let us see further ahead. But if we keep him the center of our lives, if we keep ourselves focused on who he is and what he's doing, keep ourselves surrounded by people of God praying for us, giving us godly advice and counsel, he'll help us take the next step. So when Brandy and I decided, all right, it's time for us to leave, we were in a healthy, growing church, First Baptist Church. I was getting paid a great salary as a youth pastor. Many youth pastors don't get paid what I was getting paid. And all of a sudden, God was like, it's time. And we had to enter our own zone of the unknown. 10 years ago, I said this to Brandy. I was like, okay, Brandy, I think so. And she was like, how much are you getting paid? I don't know. Then no, we aren't doing it. But it was actually Brandy that turned to me in 2009 and said, how much longer are we going to wait? And we both felt that call and we were ready. Okay, God, we don't know how we're going to make ends meet. I'm walking away from a good-paying job. At that point, there was no promise from any outside organizations to support us. We just knew that God was leading us to take this step, and we took that step into the zone of the unknown, and God has been with us every step. And yes, there are still times when we can't see past the next month. I mean, literally, financially, we have enough money. If you guys all of a sudden stop coming, everything would end in a month. We have that much in reserve. But God is leading us one step at a time. And we know he's given us a vision, a heartbeat, and a passion. A lot of you have been, some of you have even doubted some of the statistics I've been putting out there. Google it. Do the last census taken. 8% of the people in this area, not 18, not 80, 8% of the people in this area claimed Jesus as their Savior and that this is the Word of God. Only 8. 92% of the people in this area believe that the Bible's questionable. Jesus might be a great guy, but there may be other paths to heaven as well. And God has put us here to help declare the truth, to help shine the light, to help bring true hope to a lost and dying world. And God may be leading you to do that as well. God wants you to trust Him, to enter into your own zones of the unknown. And that may be literally, I say these phrases all the time, to simply just follow Him wherever you eat, sleep, work, and play. Are you a part of some athletic team? Do your team members know you even believe in God? Have you ever invited them to church? At work, do you hide away? Maybe your coworkers know you're a Christian, and every time you have a lunch, you go and meet with the other Christians. Maybe God wants you sometime, instead of going to that Bible study, share lunch with a coworker who doesn't know Christ and get to know them. See how you can pray for them. See how you can love on them. See how you can reach out to them. Well, I don't know. I don't know what will happen. What if they reject me? We all face those fears. There's all kinds of reasons why we don't share our faith, but they aren't good reasons. Christ calls us all. My youth pastor shared Matthew 10, 19, and 20 with me when I was a young junior in high school. I felt called to reach my school. I felt called to share my faith with my friends. And he gave me these words when I shared with him. I just don't know. I don't know if I know enough of the scripture. I don't know if I'll mess it up, if I'll try and share the gospel with them and mess it up. And he said, Matthew 10, 19, read it. So I opened up my Bible, and he said, I read this. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you should say or how to say it. At that time, it will be given you what to say. I said to my youth pastor, I hope I'm not going to be arrested. That was supposed to be funny. The point here, though, is suspended, expelled. A principal came up to me. I told this story to the youth many times. I was the president of the drama club that year, my junior year of high school. All the clubs were allowed to set out their stuff, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a step, a risk. And I set up a table at the end of the drama table. And I was like, I heard that Bible clubs could be held in schools. And I knew we didn't have one. So I just put up there, Bible club, are you interested in joining one? And the principal came up and was like, what's this? Does anybody work in this table? I was sitting behind the drama table. And I was like, yeah, that's the Bible club. And immediately, like this confidence that I had no idea where it came from, immediately I spoke up and I was like, yes, sir, that's the new Bible club that we're starting this year. And it was like, who approved this? I just thought we were allowed to have one. And he said, well, come into my office with me. So we went to the office, and over the next few moments, we had a conversation, and words were just coming out of me like I didn't even know where they were coming from. I was just, why are you doing this? Who said you can? And I was being polite but respectful. I was like, sir, I learned about the Equal Access Act passed in 1984, that if there's a chess club or a math club, there can be a Bible club. And it just kept coming and coming and coming. And I believe that most of my friends in the school here, they're partying, they're doing drugs on the weekends. They're looking for hope, but they're looking for the ways in this world. And we need to share with them the truth. And he was just like, looked at me. I was like, so I thought we could start a Bible club. Okay, he said, fill out this form. And we had a Bible club. I didn't know. I wasn't prepared, but I followed God and His footsteps, and He led me. And I was able to see many people, many friends of mine come to Christ that year simply because I was willing to take a step. We need to be reminded that as we go on mission for God, that He is with us in that mission. He does not send any of us anywhere where He is not already present. He is already working on the hearts of people that are in your midst, even before you open up your mouth. And we need to keep praying that God's Holy Spirit is preparing us to enter the zone of the unknown as he leads. Matthew 28:19-20 is called the Great Commission by many. And it says this, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, therefore go into all nations making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and what? Surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. We don't go anywhere where God is not already present. And he is sending us, and he is there to do his work. We just need to be obedient and do our part. Next, number two, we need to learn to listen to the Spirit's promptings. God's Holy Spirit is always working. Henry Blackaby, I've been referring to him a lot in the last couple months. He wrote that book, Experiencing God. If you've never done that study, I encourage you to do it. It's a great study. It'll help you grow in ways of seeing how God works in ways you never imagined. But one of the principles is that God is always working, and he invites us to join him in that work. The Holy Spirit is always, the scriptures say that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So we got to be praying, God, help me to be in tune with what your Holy Spirit's doing. And have you ever been in a situation where you just sensed that something was going on with somebody? Are you saying yes? You've been there, Austin? You're giving me my 5-minute warning. Okay. Great. Have you ever been in that situation where you just sensed that God was maybe preparing something and you just knew it was the right moment and took it? Or have you ever been in that situation where you didn't take it, even though you felt like maybe you should have? We need to learn to listen to the Spirit's promptings. Matthew 5:13 says this. It's an encouragement for us to realize this, that we are the salt of the earth. We are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. God has left us here to continue his mission. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled, and underfoot. And what I've come to learn is that too much salt is bad. I've had to cut salt out of most of my diet. If it's not already in there, I'm not adding it. Sometimes we as Christians can oversalt things. Have you ever been there? I had a friend who got on fire with me in high school, and this Bible is small. His Bible was like probably this size compared to this. And he would carry that Bible around everywhere. And we started being called Bible bashers. That's not that funny. I would have conversations with friends at lunch, and I'd share my faith. But this kid would literally like stand up in the lunchroom and start just quoting scripture like, and the gates of hell will be up. And it was just like freaking people out. Like, Derek, you've got to turn it down a notch. And sometimes we in our Christian approaches will take the salt top off and just pour it, okay? When just a little bit of salt sometimes is all that's needed. And God, if we look at Christ himself, he went into situations, he looked at the situation, he was moved with compassion, and he would take care of people's needs, and he would share the truth with them, and it was done in a way that fit the situation. And yes, sometimes we'll do everything right, and some people will still be like, forget it. But we need to learn to walk as God calls us to walk, to follow his promptings, and to let him be reminded that we are his plan. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and it's through him that we are able to be what he calls us to be, and we need to follow his promptings. Matthew 19:20 again. That first verse was 19, but go back to 19 just so it connects. No, not honor your father and mother. I'm sorry. Matthew 10. I wrote in the notes wrong. Matthew 10, 19 and 20. Sorry. Matthew 10, 19 through 20 says this. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, it'll be given to you what to say. Verse 20 says this, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. And so we need to get to a place where we allow God's Holy Spirit to take over us and to flow through us. And if we're not busy being walking with the Spirit, then we're going to struggle there. We need to allow ourselves to walk with God every moment of every day so that at the moment that He needs us, we're ready. Acts 1:8 reminds us that we need the Spirit. Jesus was talking to those closest to Him, the disciples. He was about to send them, to commission them to become, you know, to start the church, to become witnesses all over the world. And He said, but this, don't get started yet. You got to wait. Wait and go into the upper room and pray, and My Father will send the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power to do what? To be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. God has called us to be His plan A. The Holy Spirit will lead us if we just get in tune with Him and allow Him to lead us one step at a time. And my last point, 3, just walk. Or as Nike says, just do it. That's like an old slogan, right? Do they even say that anymore? Anyway, you get the point. Just do it. Just walk. Just start. Let's follow Christ's example. Romans 5:8 says this, that God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were His sinners, while we were His enemies, far from Him, Christ came to us. While we were sinners, Christ came to this earth and He died for us. Philippians 2:5 through 11 puts it like this, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be used by His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus left that circle of comfort. He did not consider His Godhead, His deity, something to be held on to, but released that so that He could cross the cosmos and come to us and take on the very form of a servant, a lowly man, the son of a carpenter, born in a manger, so that He could come and love and serve many and give up His life in our place. In that same way, Jesus calls us just to walk across the room. As He walked across the cosmos, let us leave our circles of comfort. Let us leave our routine and go following the Spirit's promptings and do what it is that God has called us to do. I want us to return as we bring today to a close to that passage I read at the beginning, Mark chapter 4. And because of time, I want to actually dig into this passage more in one of our, probably maybe our fifth week, or I'll weave it in later. But I want to point out a couple things that will serve as a source of encouragement. Number one, let's look back at Mark 4:26. The kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground. At first, the work of God can seem insignificant. Many of us don't live in a society where we're farming all the time. Or maybe some of you do. Some of you like make your own bread and grind your own grain and weird stuff like that. But most of us, we go to the store and we buy it. It's already there, okay? But back then in the society, people were spread. You'd walk down the road and you'd see people spreading seed all the time. It was just another mundane, ordinary thing. Nothing significant. And that's often how the work of God is at first. We don't always see the work of God in people's lives. It's kind of like that seed just being spread. I planted more seed this past week, and I'm just looking at it like, okay, I did my part. The seed's on the ground. Yes, I did. Brandy said, okay, cover it with some dirt and some hay, and we did that. And she came home every day and watered it. I did my part, and she did hers. And now it's grass, okay? You can go to my house and see where that worn path used to be, Kelly. It's all green. I hope it We'll see how long it stays there, but at least it's there now. I don't know how the seed worked. I just put it there, followed the basic instructions, did a few things, but the seed did what it was supposed to do. And that's the next thing we need to know. We don't have to know. You don't have to be a theological genius. You don't have to have a seminary degree in order to spread seed. God calls us all just to go out there and spread the seed of the gospel. Go and love on people in Jesus' name. Go and take care of them and let them know that Jesus loves them. And invite them to an environment where they can get nourished, a place like this. As we simply go out and spread seed, the seed then begins to do its work. Some of you, you may have spread seed in someone's life and had no idea if it would ever take root. And you were surprised to see that person come to know Christ. Some of you have just simply spread seed and years passed and it seemed that nothing happened. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Brandy was telling me that she ran into some guy on Facebook who was like a partier guy back at West Springfield High School. And now he's a pastor somewhere. Somebody spread seed that eventually took root and now he's spreading his own seed. We have no clue what the seed, the power that is in the seed, the power that's in the gospel. And we just need to be out there spreading it. Even if it just seems like, well, I don't know if it's going to work. Let God take care of the rest. It goes on to say that here. It says, verse 26, a man scatters seed in the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. I mean, even while he's sleeping, it's working. It's doing its thing. Whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And many of us, we don't know why God would save certain people. Amen? That's okay, we'll move on. But all by itself, the soil produces grain. And sometimes Christian growth comes in stages. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel. And then it's ready to be harvested. And some of you, you've spread seed and there's maybe a little growth. Don't be discouraged. It happens like that. Growth in Christ sometimes comes in stages. The important thing we must remember is the first thing, and that is we are simply called to start spreading the seed. And you never know what might happen. Watch this video.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked, and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. and he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
Let's pray. Father God, first of all, God, I just have to tell you how much I am grateful that we get to be a part of what you're doing. That as we spread the seed of your love, of your truth, of the powerful gospel, we have no clue what you might do. And yet, God, you amaze us time and time again, seeing lives transformed and impacted when we as broken people simply step up and say, all right, Lord Jesus, use me. And we're willing to take that risk to walk across the room. We're willing to take that risk to share a loving truth on a place like Facebook. Christ, I pray that you would give us the boldness and the courage and the ability to be your witnesses, that we would be people who walk in step with the Spirit, led by you, God, guided by the word that lights our path, so that in the moments when you are prompting us, we will be ready to share even just a little bit that we know, taking one step closer to leading someone to you. I pray, God, that we would be a people that takes this calling and embraces it, God, that you have called us to this mission of reaching the world. God, and it starts right here in our very neighborhoods, in our very workplaces, in our schools, in our playgrounds, wherever it is that we are sent by you, God. You call us to be ambassadors, missionaries, sent on mission for you. So God, I pray that you would help us to take those steps, to be willing to take a risk, to reach out in the powerful, loving name of Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray for whoever may be in this room this morning who has never opened up their own heart to receive your love, that this morning that they would just simply break open and say, yes, Christ, come in. Although I don't understand it, God, I receive your love and your forgiveness. Come in and make me new. Forgive me for the life that I've been living, the path that I've walked, and help me now to follow you. Father God, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, hearts will be broken now. That your Spirit would just invade and just pour your love into those sitting in this room who have never opened up themselves to you before. And out of the overflow, God, of that love, those of us who are walking with you would then be vessels that your love can pour through to reach those who do not yet know you. Help us, God, to learn to just walk, to just spread that seed so that others can know. Over these next few moments, I want to challenge you to do a couple things. One, I want you to just listen to God. I want you to say, okay, God, what do you want me to hear here? Is there somebody you're wanting me to reach out to? Is there something in my life you're wanting me to do to change? Let God speak to you. The second thing is if you've never opened up your heart to Christ, that you would do it. We will have people in the back ready to pray with you, prayer team standing in the back. Just go back there and say, I want to accept Christ. Will you pray with me? Or you can come up front and pray with me here. And then some of you, you were challenged to open up your heart to Christ years ago. I'd love to encourage you this year to reach out to whoever was instrumental, whoever walked across the room to reach you. Have you ever thanked them? I was at my own community group this past week, and Christina Herschelman said, have you ever told that church what's happened to you? When I was 6 years old, a church took us in and took care of my family. I was in a Sunday school class where a Mrs. Green led me to the Lord. Later that year, she walked up to me and said, one day you're going to be a pastor. All I cared about was astronauts, airplanes, and football back then. And I never once called back and said anything to anyone in that church that thank you for what you did. And this week I called. Unfortunately, I got a voicemail, but I left a very long voicemail just saying, I want to call to say thank you for helping reach me. I'd love to talk to someone if you call me back. They haven't called me back yet. We'll see what happens. But I encourage you this week, if you can think of somebody in your life who was instrumental in leading you to Christ, would you send them an email, a postcard, a Facebook message, whatever. Give them a call, an old-fashioned telephone call. Just say thank you and let them know. Today, I want us to remember that all of this is only possible because of what Christ did for us. Christ left heaven, came to earth, so that his body could be broken and his blood could be shed in our place, that anyone who would believe in him would be saved. And my hope is that each and every one of you in this room would believe that because of what Christ did on the cross, we all can be in relationship with the Father if we will accept that, believe in it, and ask for his forgiveness. Will you do that? Today, let's remember that. Let's remember that we live because he died for us and rose again to empower us to be on mission with him. And we invite you, if you are on mission with him, to come up, to take a piece of bread as a symbol of the body broken for us, to dip it in this cup of juice, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us. And let's eat this as we remember that we are on mission with him. And I just invite you to respond as you feel led, whether sitting there in prayer, standing up with our worship team and worshiping our loving Father, taking communion, or receiving prayer from one of us. Let's let God work as he will. God, I pray that you would move now at this time. Move in our hearts as we respond to you. In your name we pray. Respond as you feel led.